Mrs. Mag. Yeah.
Mrs. Mag.
What's her full name? Does she have a full name?
She does have a full
Please
name.
Please don't say it's Mary Mac.
From Atlanta, home of the most condescending TSA agents anywhere. John. He wrote it. That's a little accurate. It's the Whole World Improv Theater Podcast, brought to you by Whole World Improv Theater, Atlanta's original home of improv. Here are your hosts, artistic director Chip Powell, and a man who was out of town for 3 days, and his dog still won't acknowledge him, John Mihalik.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Whole World Improv Theater, the podcast. I'm John Mihalik, and with me, my co-host, the artistic director, Mr. Chip Powell.
Hey, John.
Hey, Chip. So we're having fun this season so far. We're meeting a lot of really interesting people.
Yeah, it's our character season, and we're really diving in to really get down to the core of every character, and I love it.
Yeah, I think it tells us something about the actor, too.
Yeah.
Who does that.
So sitting in with us today is Diane Smith.
Oh, my goodness. It is a pleasure to be here. My name is Diane Smith.
So nice to meet you.
Great to meet you as well.
I'm loving your haircut. It commands attention.
Well, yeah, of course, I had to go get a nice fresh cut because I'm back in the courtroom after many years away raising my beautiful babies. Who are all grown now themselves and have babies of their own.
Yeah. Well, and very excited. Mrs. Mac is here today and Mrs. Maggie Mac. How are you?
Well, Chip, I am fine and just blessed and pleased to be here. You know, I taught the fourth grade for many years, and then they made me go into the high school for a little while. And, you know, those children up there are not very respectful, so I had to come up with a few ways to show them how to act because their parents just aren't getting it done.
And tell us, what part of the country do you teach in?
Oh, right here in Georgia. Down in rural Georgia around Gay. Gay, Georgia is where I was a school teacher for many years. You know, they got the cotton picking fair down there. I was the cotton picking queen back in my youth. That's how I met my husband, Eugene.
That goes way back.
It brings back
a lot of memories, Gay Georgia.
So how did you discipline children when you first started and how you discipline children now?
Well, you know, those fourth graders are so sweet. You could take a toy away from them, and if they're really misbehaving, you just take some duct tape and tape them to the wall, and they will straighten right up when they can't move. They'll cry for a minute, but you got to let them cry it out. You know, they tire themselves out. When they're ready, they will act right after that. And
Diane, as a defense attorney, this action, how does it speak to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the world has changed. And in the Catholic Church, we are a fan in the Catholic school where I sent my three wonderful babies, now grown adults. You know, there was a ruler, and they'd just get a quick tap on the knuckle. But I have to tell you, Mrs. Mac, those kind of disciplinary actions actually are not going to fly in the courtroom today. Whether I agree with that or not is a separate issue, but I will tell you, you will actually go to jail.
Well, you see, first, this was a long, long time ago. Also, the parents have to sign a waiver at the beginning of the year or I will not teach their child. And I will tell you, my children always had the best test scores of anybody. So those parents wanted me to have their children in my class.
I have to agree. I mean, I was raised in a environment back in... And in that environment, you could get your best ass whooping at the supermarket just for asking for paper dolls.
And I think that is what's wrong today. You just don't see children getting their asses whooped in the grocery store.
I got my ass whooped at the grocery store, at Kmart, in public, on the street, anywhere. It could be a switch, a belt, a flip-flop.
Oh, the flip-flop. My mother had these leather flip-flops. Every child in the neighborhood felt the wrath of that flip-flop right on their tail end a time or two. We ain't even friends if my mama ain't beat your ass.
Now, I will offer you all this, all right? So my babies were raised in a different time, and now they are parents themselves. And I am watching them, and I don't always agree with their approach. But there is new science now that says, you know, hitting your baby and your kids actually isn't so great. And I don't necessarily understand it, but my grandbabies are the cutest, sweetest little things you've ever seen. And so what am I going to do? All right. As long as they're getting a job by the time they're 14, I have no complaints, like every hardworking American should do.
That is right. I'm telling you, Diane, you know, they say that the science tells you not to hit the child, but I've always heard spare ye the rod and spoil the child. And
well, agreement or disagreement, you're going to go to prison. I want to just make that clear, Mrs. Mack, that if you go around hitting people these days, especially in a school, unless you're living in Mississippi, that's a different state, you're going to go to prison.
And I have to say, that is why I am so dedicated and passionate about rearing children, because I am willing to go to prison to make that child a better person.
I don't think you want to go to prison, Mrs. Mack. It is not what you think it might be.
The child is worth it. Are your children, Miss Diane, not worth going to prison for?
I love my children, but at a certain point, you gotta get a job, you gotta contribute to society, and you gotta make your own way. All right. And I believe that age should be about 14 years old. Now, I got my first job when I was 9 years old. That's frowned upon now.
What was your first job at 9 years old?
I was babysitting. All right.
You were babysitting at nine.
I was babysitting for the neighbor's baby when I was 9 years old.
Did you ever hit a kid?
When I was babysitting, I never hit a kid. I never hit a kid. I was a baby myself. I didn't know what to do. I was a kid myself.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up north, and when I met my Jonathan.
But where up north?
Near Boston.
Okay.
I got married at 19, met my Jonathan. We moved to the city because he's a finance guy.
Which city?
We moved to New York.
Okay.
All right. And he worked his tail off. Rest his soul. Okay?
Is he dead?
He died last year.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a shame.
It's horrible.
It's part of the reason why I have gone back to work. Because, of course, first I had to raise my babies, because no respectable woman would go back to work after she has a baby. You got to stay home and raise your babies. You have to be there for them. Okay. I quit my job as an attorney and I raised my babies. And now I am back. And I will admit I am a little rusty. But I am back in the courtroom, and I am proud of it and happy to be back working.
Mrs. Mack, do you have any children?
You know, I do not have any children of my own, because I feel like every child I have ever taught was my child. I have followed those children all the way through school, through college. I am godparent to some of their children, and it's really a special relationship. I feel like my heart is just cleaved in a million pieces. Every time I strike a child, I put a little bit of myself into them.
Again, you will go to prison. I just want to make that clear. I understand, of course, where you're coming from, but I just, for the record, I got to say that.
I don't know. I think Mrs. Mack's technique is kind of what I grew up with, and I turned out pretty good. Maybe we should rethink the system.
And to be clear, I don't always strike the child. There are other ways, but, you know, I'm not above striking a child if it comes to that. I have had a child wear finger paint all over their body all day long. And when it wore off, you know, the other children, they would just put more on them. And that's how I combat racism. I paint them green for the whole day, sometimes purple or blue. And then we say, who is racist now? And, you know, they learned that color means nothing.
No, in the movie Goldfinger, that's how they killed somebody. They put paint all over them.
Well, you can't cover every inch of them. Just what showing, John. You got to be respectful to the body at least a little bit.
I was about to say.
What other methods of classroom discipline do you have that don't involve violence or physical contact?
Well, I don't know if you would call this violence, but I have been known to chuck an egg at a child. Now, when it breaks on them, they didn't duck. They will learn to duck the next time. And that's for getting answers wrong. And boy, let me tell you, once they've had to clean egg out their hair a few times, they will do their homework.
You would be a very difficult client to coach. I can tell you that right now. And if you persist down these methodologies, I'm just going to have to remind you, you may end up in prison.
Major support for Whole World Improv Theater is provided by the Atlanta Mayor's Office of Cultural Affairs, where beautiful people bring you the arts while surrounded by singing birds and fairies. They must have us mistaken for something like Shakespeare in the Park. Or the vagina monologues. Vagina.
Diane, what's the most difficult case you've ever tried?
Oh my goodness. I had this one belligerent, drunken, yes. Not only during her crime, but also when she came to meet with me. Woman, her name was Jessica, and she stole a mattress, of all things. Now, this was a challenge for me because I didn't like the girl. She didn't have a job. She never had worked a day in her life. She lived off her parents' money. She took alcohol right out of their garage fridge. She was 19 years old, drinking alcohol and stealing a mattress. Who steals a mattress? How do you even do that?
I think I did that at 19. I think I did all that.
But I will tell you.
I just didn't get caught.
It killed me inside, but we won. We won that case.
Well, wouldn't that be tough love for the kid?
Listen, her parents paid me a lot of money. You think I was going to? Of course, I'm going to win.
So was that the most distasteful client you ever had?
She just ate at me personally because she had no job. She wasn't contributing to society. What was she doing?
And yet you won her case. And what is she doing to this day?
She actually is a bartender. When I believe she's doing her job drunk half of the time.
Yeah.
But actually, it actually is working out because
she found her niche.
She found her niche. And I have to hand it to her. She's working. Okay. She's contributing to society in some way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now she's contributing in some way, but she's a drunk. I guarantee you, if her mama had taken her outside that courthouse.
Here we go again.
And showed
here
her.
We go again. Back to the prison for Mrs. Mack.
That's right. That she might be an attorney her own.
Well, I mean, we don't know her parents, and that's what I'm saying. You knew the parents, and if the child had, you know, gotten the rod, maybe they might be a better human being or a better.
Say I knew the parents was. Yeah. Was maybe an understatement.
But also, couldn't you
have... It was my sister's kid.
Couldn't you have let this Jessica go to jail and pay for her sins? So therefore, she might have learned a lesson. It sounds like she didn't learn a lesson.
I am an...
And you just made money.
I am an attorney. I am not a priest.
That sounds about
right. I am not an altar boy.
Okay.
They won't let women be altar boys. I wanted to be an altar boy.
Yeah.
And then I realized, mind your place, okay?
And set drunks free.
Well, that's not the typical... Listen, you asked me about my toughest
case. I'm trying to ask you questions about the fact that you've put
this
someone
was a time
back
when
into society part of society, that's not contributing, but drinking.
I will tell you, yes, you are actually correct there.
This is my beef with lawyers, is that I don't think they do any good to society, and it pisses me off. And I just have to express myself because I think attorneys are bad people.
Fine.
And there it is.
Well, we all get to row our own boats. But I will tell you, this was a time when Jonathan was just starting out on Wall Street and we didn't have a lot of money. This was before I started my line of custom pantyhose.
It's back to money. It's back to money with attorneys. And that's what I'm saying.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But we had
to. If you could contribute to society the way Mrs. Mack is contributing to society by beating the shit out of kids and putting them right, then maybe as a attorney, you might be able to make society better than just make a buck off of a drunk girl.
Well, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing about contributions to society which actually is a nice segue for me to tell you about my custom line of pantyhose.
Great. Yes. Here we go.
And I have an issue because if you go in any workplace in America right now, it's very casual. And women are showing the bare legs. And I don't think that is a good thing because no one is going to take you seriously at work if you're showing your bare legs. You can agree with me on that, Mrs. Mack, because look at your long skirt down to your ankles.
That is true. Now, the women show too much of their bodies these days and they're not getting the respect. Back in my day when I was teaching, them boys would disrespect the women, and you know what I would do? I would have them go put some makeup on and walk around in a dress. They needed to see what it was like to be a girl. And you know, some of those boys liked it. They did. And
I know I did.
And a few of them still wear the eyeliner today, but they respect those women after that. They see all the things they have to carry in their purse and how constricting the garments can be. And now they know what we go through.
I won a case recently and I noticed the opposition was not wearing pantyhose and showing the bare legs. And I'll tell you, I did the smoothest move as we were walking out of the courtroom. You know, because I always carry samples around with me of the pantyhose. And I just quietly just placed it on her briefcase as I walked out the door, just like that.
Another financial move on the attorney's part. That's just great.
Okay, I'm going to step in here. So, Mrs. Mack, I need you to give me some advice.
Absolutely, John. So, what can I tell you?
As a podcaster, when, say, a co-host and a guest get a little unruly, what's a good way to discipline them to get them to straighten up and fly right?
Well, that brings me to a set of bullies I had in my class back in the day.
Prison.
We were doing a bake sale, and they kept fighting over brownies of all things. We had plenty of brownies. And they just kept on punching one another and insulting and broke out into a food fight. I took those boys aside and I tied them together. I did. I tied them together. They couldn't get away from one another. And they had to learn to get along like that before we would separate them. I gotta tell you, those boys was tied together for weeks. But eventually they became best friends.
Just may have helped speed things along.
It may have. I heard they got married a few years ago. I did.
That's very sweet. You had a very positive impact on those bullies' lives.
I thought I did. I was at their wedding, and it was the sweetest thing. They had a cake with my face on it.
Diane, what social causes do you advocate over as a lawyer?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been a little busy raising my sweet babies, all right? But I always make time to bring the canned goods down to the Catholic Church, St. Joseph's, all right? And that has been my number one, is I go around the neighborhood, I collect the canned goods, I bring it to the Catholic Church, and it doesn't hurt that sometimes I run into one of our judges. Mm-hmm. Also, who goes to that church?
Conspiring once again and as an attorney. And let me just tell you something about the Catholic Church, because the Catholics will mess you up worse than heroin. Okay. So, what I'm trying to say to you right now is that where are these canned goods coming from? Are they expired? Are these things that you just didn't use? I just need to know for my own personal gain, because you seem to be a money grubber. And I just want to let our listeners know.
A money grubber.
Yes.
A money grubber. Like, are we going there?
Yes, yeah. Because what does the Catholic Church do? They pass around a basket. You're supposed to throw your weekly earnings in it. And then what? Then you bring some canned goods and it's supposed to make everything better. I don't agree.
Do you know how many blessings Father Cavalli bestowed upon my family?
I'm sure. Yeah.
I have three
beautiful
children who have children of their own.
Did you invite him over for dinner? Did you feed him bourbon and some fried chicken?
Of course I did.
He
loves bourbon.
Of course you did.
Well, I'm going to get his favorite kind.
Wow. Wow.
He comes over every Friday and Saturday night for dinner.
When now we know exactly what's going wrong with our country.
Sounds like you should probably get a full-time job instead of doing this podcast.
You're on my show, okay? You're on my show doing my thing. And let me tell you something. As an attorney, you should be upholding the law in a different way. And you should go and find Jessica and get her out of that bar and make her a better citizen.
Now, I would like to meet young Jessica because I have to say my social cause that I feel very strongly about is helping women learn to enjoy themselves.
Well, I have a surprise for both of you. Jessica has actually been on this show.
Well.
Yes.
Has she now?
She has.
Well, you know, I find that, you know, women are in the streets acting like whores.
Well, if she's so bad and you're blaming me for setting her free and then you just give her the all-star treatment, you probably let her go in the green room.
Yep. She did.
And brought her on. Now you're glorifying her life. You're glorifying alcohol. So who's the bad guy here?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
It's you.
Okay, I think not. Diane.
So if you'll just get Jessica to put a little bit of Gold Bond in her underwear.
She'll use Goldschlager.
She will be having a good time all by herself and not need to run those streets.
Okay, that is a great conversation, but we'll be right back right after this.
If you are looking to enhance your awesomeness and meet sexy new people, you need to take a class at Whole World. We offer a 10-week class for adults at all levels. Whether you're beginner, intermediate, or advanced improviser, you'll learn the Whole World approach to improv and have a blast doing it. I know I did. For students who progress through the advanced class, the entire program culminates with a big, big show on the legendary Whole World stage. All the actors at our award-winning theater have gone through our class program. And now it's time for you to take the stage. That's right, you. You know you want to. Get that neuroplasticity going and gain confidence at the same time. Go to the classes page at wholeworldtheater.com to register. That's theater spelled with an R-E. Because we're fancy.
This program is supported in part by Georgia Council for the Arts through the appropriations of the Georgia General Assembly. Georgia Council for the Arts also receives support from its partner agency, the National Endowment for the Arts. And thank goodness for organizations like these, because now more than ever, anybody sick of that phrase, everyone knows how important the arts are. Because where did everybody turn to after 2 years of hell? The arts. So let's keep recognizing these amazing organizations for what they are and what they do. We love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Wow, that was a spirited conversation,
wasn't it, Chip? It was.
Why don't we meet who is playing Diane?
All right. Diane Smith, played by our actress Sharon Powell. Where does the inspiration of a fueled defense attorney come from?
It was a collab. It started out, Paige Crawford did the murder at .. online show during the pandemic, and Diane was just a Catholic church-going chaperone who wanted to make sure everybody was behaving appropriately. And Chip, it was you who said, what if you bring Diane, but she's an attorney, and we set up a courtroom scene? So then she evolved into becoming a Catholic who raised her kids and then finally went back to work as an older, somewhat flustered.
Well, and that has to be one of my favorite. I love the courtroom setup. And of course, I loved when I got to be a defense attorney in one of the shows. And I bring a lot of distractions like folders and loud chips that I can eat while they're rebuttaling and
clanging on
a
keyboard.
I throw a lot of papers down and I make it a very, and it's only because I worked for a law firm in my first year of college, and I got to see the antics of the actual attorneys in the courtroom, and they always cracked me up. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take this to the nth degree.
Whereas I don't have that background. So I've done a ton of internet research. I also have Diane often rattles off like bogus Latin and then she justifies it as like some actual court term.
Yeah.
And I have two friends who are married and they're both lawyers. So I sat down with them one day and I was like, walk me through What happens in a courtroom? What are some of the expressions? Because I feel like if you have that backbone, like you have from your real world experience to then play off of, when you have those real pieces, it makes it funnier because it's like, oh, wait, that actually are things that happen.
But I like that she can be on the prosecution side or the defense side. I like the fact that I can play with that character in my shows that way.
And Mrs. Mack, played by Serena Stone.
Oh, hi, Serena.
Hi, Chip. Hi.
So where does an inspiration come from for a teacher that beats children?
I have, let's just say, a lot of Southern family. And while none of them are teachers, they do have very strong opinions on disciplining children. Some of them are kind of, you know, when we're talking around family gatherings, they can get a little rude. But it's funny because they're very proper ladies and then they're not. So it was kind of fun to me to develop a character. And I think she was a school teacher because of something that was going on a Zoom show or Dave's podcast. I can't remember. But just developing her, I've been trying to do a female Southern character. And my first couple attempts at it weren't quite right. So this is the one that has kind of fallen into a groove for me and kind of has her deal. And she's a lot of fun. And I can change her up a little bit and have her, you know, harp on just about anything. Yeah, so she's been a lot of fun.
And I wasn't even joking when I was talking about the beating of children. I mean, we did get like our good spankings in this, like out in the public. I don't know where these people were that are now defending not spanking your children in public and you get arrested. Where were they when I was growing up? I don't know.
I was the same way. Yeah. I mean, my school could give us wax.
Same.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The flip-flop was not a joke. That's real. And literally our friends have been spanked by my mother. When I was young, any adult in our neighborhood or family probably could have spanked me and I would not have questioned
it. My junior high principal, Mr. Jacobs, had a paddle and he was so proud of it that he drilled holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it would get more speed when he hit you.
Oh, my God. I had a guy. It was Mr. Stout, one of our just sixth grade teacher. Yeah. He had. It was like a cricket bat, but he drew holes.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And you would go into the office, and I remember me and this girl, Teresa, got into some stupid fight about something. But I don't even know why, but he whapped us like four or five times each, her and I, and she laughed the whole way through it.
That's the one
I did not.
You know her in trouble.
Yeah, she's into BDSM now. Yeah.
That's probably so.
True.
You know, my mother's weapon of choice when we were home, not the flip-flop, but she actually had a razor strop. And I will never forget being out at the barbershop, and it was a true, you know, barbershop. We were getting my brother's haircut or whatever, and I saw this barber actually stropping a straight razor to give a guy a shave. And my mom said my eyes got just big around his saucers, and I said, "Mama, he's got a razor strop." And he said, "Yes, little girl, do you know what this is used for?" I went, "Yeah, beating asses." And he went, "Well, that too."
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, and of course, Whole World Improv Theater does not condone or support child abuse in any way whatsoever.
No, but we are survivors.
We are. This is our
child abuse.
This is therapy that we can talk about it and share it together. Yes.
And that's a different podcast. But until then, come back next week for the same podcast. I'm John Mihalik.
I'm Chip Powell.
And scene.
Thanks for listening to the Whole World Improv Theater Podcast. We're adding binaural beats to help you get to sleep. The Whole World Improv Podcast is a production of Whole World Improv Theater in association with Headspace Industries. The executive producer, writer, and tester of the new wine tap is Chip Powell. This episode was produced, written, and edited by John Mihalik. Original music by The Gentle Readers. And our social media maven is Bethany Rowe. Please help support this podcast by liking, subscribing, and leaving us a review. It's fun, easy, and just like leaving a Yelp review. Whole World Improv Theater is a 501c3 nonprofit theater. Please support by donating at our website, wholeworldtheater.com. And remember, it's tax deductible. And H&R Block is hiring for seasonal tax work. Help keep those folks busy. Additional writing and voiceover from me, Kate Arlo.
The start of this podcast coincided nicely with the end of a little trick I was playing on some people. I convinced for the past 3 months or so some people in my life that I was now living in the woods for the most part and finding my own food, and that I wanted to be called the Wolf Mother. But obviously, if I have access to recording equipment, I am not living in the woods all that much. So the jig is up. It was good while it lasted. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, you got the shrimp?
I keep saying if I can get gator sausage, I'll do red beans and rice for you guys.
Actually, yeah, I'll go to Costco and get the biggest shrimp we could.
We should do it like a tailgate before a show when it gets really cooler outside. That would be fun.
Bye, Winnie.